air online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, John Hume has been laid to rest in the city cemetery in Derry today. His funeral mass heard, he made peace visible when others had given up hope. The public finances have deteriorated by €8.3 billion in the past year. Latest Exchequer figures show the deficit was €7.4 billion in July, compared to a surplus in the same month last year. The current COVID-19 testing and tracing system is facing severe stress tests in the coming months. That's according to the Oireachtas COVID-19 Committee. And NPHET wants targeted action to address worrying COVID-19 clusters. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Oisín. That's coming up at around 5:15. Good evening. John Hume has been laid to rest in the city cemetery in Derry. His funeral mass today heard, he made peace visible when others had given up hope. A message read on behalf of the Dalai Lama said his persistence for peace had set an example for all to follow. Casey Reardon has more.
The funeral of John Hume has heard expressions of sympathy from the Pope, Dalai Lama, the Clintons and Bono. Father Paul Farron thanked God for the gift of John Hume.
If you ever want to know a man who gave his life for his country and his health, that man is John Hume.
Many family members were unable to travel to the funeral due to the pandemic, including his son Aidan, while attendance was limited in the church to around 100 people. His son John Jr. paid tribute to his father's memory.
Along with Mum, he taught us all our values and gave us all our moral compass. And for that, we will be forever in their debt.
His granddaughter Ava prayed for those who took care of her granddad.
We pray for our carers and nurses, especially those in Owenmore who took such great care of my granddad.
And that was Ava ending that report from Casey O'Riordan. Well, attendance inside St Eugene's Cathedral was limited to around 100 people today. Many family members, including John's son Aidan Hume, were unable to travel home for the funeral due to the pandemic. A poem written by Aidan was read out by John's daughter Mo at the funeral.
Your friend Seamus Heaney wrote of a time when justice will rise up, hope and history will rhyme. Using a moral compass as your only tether, it was your perseverance and sheer force of will that brought them together. It began with the corrupt siting of a university, driven by a total lack of respect for diversity. On to Stormont, Strasbourg, Westminster, even Washington DC, you showed us just how impactful one man can be. You made us realise a border is just a line on a map. It's in our hearts and minds where we need to bridge the gap. Through over 30 years of violence, hurt and unrelenting stress, those underlying conditions you never stopped trying to address. Difference is but the accident of birth, and everyone has the right to the same self-worth. Patriotism is the spilling of sweat, not blood. The glory of the gun is a myth that is truly a dud. You did not do it all alone, but made damn sure the seeds were sown. Leadership is the art of convincing others you're right, not being prisoner to a base or projecting might. Like any father-son, our relationship was occasionally frayed, but we were all grateful that on the course you stayed and showed us that even a wee boy from the Glen could dismantle the power of the sword with a simple pen. I don't ever think I said aloud how you've made us all so incredibly proud. All you ever wanted was to make the world a better place, and in that goal, you found your ace.
The words of Aidan Hume, read by his sister Mo at their father John's funeral in Derry today. The public finances have deteriorated by €8.3 billion in the past year. Latest Exchequer figures show the deficit was €7.4 billion in July, compared to a surplus of €896 million in the same month last year. The fall is being blamed on the cost of the state's response to the COVID-19 pandemic, with spending up €8.6 billion year on year. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue says the figures were to be expected.
The Exchequer figures today, while they show a really significant change on where we thought we were going to be at the start of the year, and a very big change on where we thought this particular month would look like. The level of deficit that we now have is in line with what we expected earlier on in the year. It's in line with what we indicated in the July jobs plan.
Meanwhile, government debt increased by 13.8 billion euro in the first quarter of the year to 237 billion. That's according to the central bank. Its latest bulletin for the 3 months to the end of March reflects the early stages of the COVID-19 pandemic. Meanwhile, household debt fell by over 2 billion euro to 133 billion. It's over a third lower now than it was at its peak in 2008. 10 new cases of coronavirus have been reported north of the border. It brings the total number of cases there to 6,006. For the 23rd day in a row, no new COVID-19 deaths were recorded in Northern Ireland. The death toll remains 556. The current COVID-19 testing and tracing system is facing severe stress tests in the coming months. That's according to an Oireachtas committee, which is calling for changes to be made to the system to make it more efficient. With more, here's Josh Crosby.
As part of 22 recommendations in its interim testing and tracing report, the committee says that anyone arriving into the country should have their temperature checked. It also wants the quarantine for people entering the state to be monitored more closely. A total of 208 million euros has been allocated for testing and tracing, with 84 million already spent by the 3rd of July. This results in an average cost of 98 euro per test. The committee is advising a reduced cost in face masks and flu vaccines, and it would also like to see the analysis of the COVID tracker app made public.
Meanwhile, the chair of the committee says in order to suppress the virus, the country's borders should be sealed. Michael McNamara says that anyone arriving here should at the very least have their temperatures checked.
To suppress the virus, it's, I think, self-evident that you need to seal the borders. And yet we're pursuing a suppression policy as though we are sealing the borders. So what we're doing is, I think, killing the economy to maintain numbers low. But at the same time, we're not doing anything to stop people coming, new cases coming in, which, to me, defies logic.
Targeted action is to be taken in a bid to address worrying COVID-19 clusters in direct provision centres, among travellers and in meat plants. There have been 37 new outbreaks in the past week, 21 in direct centres alone involving 235 people. 21 new cases have been found in clusters in the traveller community, and there have been two outbreaks in meat factories. With more details, here's Shane Beattie.
In the latest advice given to government by the National Public Health Emergency Team, significant and growing concerns are raised about the outbreaks among travellers, those living in direct provision, and in the construction and food production sectors. Public health teams have gone in with specific targeted testing to tackle the virus in these settings, and it's now expected there'll be further action taken in the coming days in these areas. Separately, the government was told staff in pubs and restaurants should wear face masks if not behind glass, and customers should sit at tables only. NPHET wanted them to close by 10:30 p.m, but the government changed this to 11 p.m.
Health officials have also expressed concern about the number of cases of COVID-19 among those under 45. In a letter to the Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly, NPHET says 73% of confirmed cases from the past 2 weeks have been in that age group. It also highlights a rise in cases among 25 to 34-year-olds. It's recommended refreshing the government messaging around COVID-19 and specifically targeting younger people. Jack Deacon from spunout.ie says young people shouldn't be vilified or singled out, but he says they should be advised.
It is hugely important that we kind of get the message out there in such a, in a positive way, that we can all like encourage each other to, you know, if you are meeting up with a group of friends, to make sure that everyone is social distancing and that it's outside. If you are going into a shop, that you wear your face mask, and encouraging everyone and not kind of pointing and say you're not doing that.
The government hasn't ruled out reopening pubs on a regional basis. Pubs that don't serve food will not be able to open until August 31st at the earliest, after Phase 4 was pushed back for a second time last night. Donegal-based Minister of State Charlie McConnellogue has defended that decision, saying he did convey the concerns of local publicans and they were discussed at cabinet level. However, he says after considering the current state of play with the virus, it was felt by the government and others that postponing the reopening of the remaining pubs was the right decision.
I certainly communicated absolutely the feedback I was getting from publicans, and that was discussed among ourselves as our own party, and very much discussed with ministers as well. I know it was discussed at cabinet level too, in making the consideration and the decision. But having taken it all on board and having consulted with where the feedback in terms of where things are at with regard to the virus figures and the advice from the health the health authorities as well, the considered decision then was to delay going to phase four, because of the very risky position where increased cases are at. And we know the damage this virus has done to people. We know how it can take off again. And certainly the public health authorities are very concerned at the moment that it's sort of on a tipping point where, if we go back about 10 days ago, the cases per week were about 120 per week, and that's going up now to 250. And in recent days, it went from a low a while ago of about 10 per day to now about 50.
And that was Minister Charlie McConnellog. Well, the number of people receiving the pandemic unemployment payment in Donegal has dropped a further 5%, according to figures from the Department of Social Protection. 8,500 people in the county are currently receiving the payment. That's down from 9,000 last week. 300 people in Donegal closed their claims this week. Overall, numbers nationally have dropped 54% since its peak on May 5th. The total amount paid under PUP now exceeds €3 billion. And there's been an alarming rate of cyber attacks around the world since the pandemic began. A new Interpol report shows there was a 788% increase in high-risk online registrations from February to March of this year. In the first 4 months of 2020, there were over 900,000 spam messages detected, which all related to COVID-19. People are being advised that another spike in online scams is likely in the future, particularly if a vaccine becomes available. Other news, and upgrade work at Carndonagh Community Hospital has been described as a vital step in safeguarding the hospital's future. It was confirmed last week that major refurbishment works will get underway at the hospital in the coming days. They're due to be complete by July of next year. Retired GP Dr. James Madden is chair of the Carndonagh Community Hospital Action Group. He says after many postponements, this work will effectively allow the hospital continue to exist.
We've been waiting for this moment for some time. It's been postponed a couple of times. But I'm sure everybody in any show will be delighted it's now going ahead this month.
From your perspective, a GP for many years in the locality, what will this mean for the community of Carndonagh in terms of that work being done at the hospital?
It'll mean certainty that the hospital can continue to exist. The problem with the hospital was some of the wards held four people and some held six. And when it was inspected some years ago by HICWA, the Health Information Quality Assurance branch of the HSE, they decided that was no longer appropriate in the 20th century or 21st century and wanted single or double room occupancy at most and more space for patients in dining rooms and lounges and so on. And they said that if these changes weren't made by the year 2020, this year, it would have to close.
But thankfully, after a very strong local campaign led by yourself and others, this won't be the case.
No, not now. Not if they're going to invest $2.5 million in it starting this month, they're hardly going to close it down. There was a huge meeting back, I think, in early 2011 at the height of the financial crisis when cuts we knew were going to be made in health, and we feared that district hospitals would be the sort of low-hanging fruit that they could go for. And it was difficult to get assurances that that was not the case back in 2011. So a meeting was held and a committee was set up with representatives from all parts of Inishowen, Mobile, Malinhead, so on, Buncrana, to lobby for the continuation of the hospital and for the necessary improvements to be made. And this has finally happened.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
17 minutes past 5 o'clock. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with soccer. The FAI's interim CEO, Gary Owen, says their alternatives are not pretty if reform isn't passed at the upcoming EGM. An €18 million government bailout is dependent on changes being made at the cash-strapped association. Among the conditions is six independent directors coming onto the FAI's board, which is facing opposition. Owen's claims the future is bleak if they can't secure state funding.
There's a hell of a lot at stake. I mean, this is a really important time for the association because, I mean, to be fair, we borrowed 52.5 million. We needed the money. We were bust, really, and we need that money to be able to go forward. We need the confidence of the two stakeholders. We need to build trust. We need to build back our reputation. It was seriously damaged, you know, both publicly it's been seriously damaged and with our key stakeholders.
Waterford have confirmed that the first of their players tested for COVID-19 has returned a negative result. All activity at the League of Ireland club has been halted while a second player awaits news from his test. Waterford's match against Sligo was postponed last night and the club doctor resigned from her position. Fun Harps go into Friday's game with St Patrick's Athletic off the back of two defeats since the Premier Division action resumed. Holly Horgan's men lost 1-0 to 10-man Shelburne last night and now set a point above the bottom two, Sligo Rovers and Cork City. Harps keeper Mark Anthony McGinley was bitterly disappointed with the result and knows they'll need something out of the game in Dublin against Pats.
Disappointed, very disappointed. We dominated majority of the game. We just gave away a sloppy goal again and weren't able to break them down. You know, they defended well, they defended numbers, and just we couldn't break them down. We ran out of time, so bitterly disappointed. This one we probably felt we should have got something out of, so we just have to regroup and go again on Friday.
It's a classic example, isn't it, of how difficult it is to play against a team with 10 men?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they sat in and they got numbers back and they didn't give us much space to play in, and you know, they got their goal one of the few times they got out. So, you know, as I said, it's very disappointing, you know. It's a game probably would have been looking to get something out of, as I said, and you know, we've come away with nothing again. So, you know, it's all goes to Friday. It makes Friday a big game.
Manchester United boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says they'll be going all out to win the Europa League. United have a 5-0 lead going into the second leg of their last 16 tie against LASK later this evening. Manchester City are set to complete their second signing of the summer. Dutch defender Nathan Ake has arrived in Manchester for a medical ahead of sealing a £41 million move from Bournemouth. City signed winger Ferran Torres from Valencia yesterday. Willian, meanwhile, is close to joining Arsenal after being offered a 3-year contract by the Gunners. The 31-year-old Brazilian winger's contract expires with Chelsea next week. He has also been linked with Barcelona and Inter Miami. Knockella Caravan's Senior Cup semi-finals on tonight. Coghill Celtic are taking on Derry City Reserves. In the Gaelic Games front, Westmeath GA chairman Billy Foley says they're going to struggle to field inter-county teams next season. He's told the Irish Independent that the Lake County are facing losses of around €200,000 due to restricted crowds at games. Foley added that yesterday's decision not to increase the capacity at matches from 200 people has been shattering news to county boards. Action continues tonight in the Derry Senior Club Championship on the hurling front. In Group A, Ballinasgreen take on Namaha and Lavey play Slough Neil. While in Group B, it's Swatra versus Oanrua Coleraine and Banagher make the trip to Kevin Lynch's. Back-to-back winner Brooks Koepka is relishing the chance to make history this week at golf's PGA Championship. The American is aiming to become the first player since the 1950s to win the same major in three successive years. He'll play alongside Open champion Shane Lowry and US Open winner Gary Woodland for the first rounds. And Koepka thinks the course at Harding Park will suit his game.
You know, my game feels like it's in really, really good shape right now. I like the way I'm hitting it and feels got me putting it really, really well. Every day is a lot more comfortable. So I'm excited. This is a big boy golf course. Got to hit the ball straight. Got to put it in the fairway. And, you know, it's going to be quite long. So I think it kind of plays in my hands.
In other golf news, American John Catchlin and his caddy Nathan Mulrooney have been withdrawn from this week's English Championship event for breaking coronavirus protocols. The pair visited a restaurant in Hertfordshire on Tuesday evening outside of the tournament bubble. As a result, the European Tour have taken them out of competition with immediate effect. Finally, in rugby, it's been confirmed that Ireland's Six Nations campaign will resume with a visit of Italy to the Aviva Stadium on October 24th. The kickoff time is still to be confirmed. October 31st, we'll see the three final round games being played. Ireland is away to France, kicking off at 8. Before that, Italy face England and Rome at 4:45. And a venue still to be decided for Wales meeting with Scotland, which will have a 2:15 start. The same weekend, we'll see Ireland's women's play their rearranged fixtures with Italy and France. It's been decided that the three outstanding fixtures in the under 26 nations cannot be played, and there will be no winner of this year's championship. Well, that's it from the sports desk for today. We'll have more tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. An Irishman has described the aftermath of the Beirut explosion as like something out of a horror movie. Anthony Cleary travelled to the Lebanese capital last week to get married. His apartment was destroyed in yesterday's blast. At least 100 people are now confirmed dead after more than 2,700 tonnes of ammonium nitrate was left unsecured at a warehouse near the city's port for 6 years. Anthony described what happened to him when the explosion happened.
The glass shattered, I was thrown back, thankfully, being in a guest room slash office, onto the bed behind me, not against the wall. Cloth everywhere, smoke everywhere, and that ringing in your ear. So I opened my eyes, struck into a ball. I saw smoke. That just always heard that, was that one long kind of tetanus ringing noise. And then when smoke cleared, the ringing noise went down. I heard the screaming and the shouting and the rubble.
And finally, serious concern has been raised over what's been described as crazy volumes of traffic on the road to Melmore, home to the iconic Murderhole Beach in northwest Donegal. The route is said to be very narrow and unable to cope with the thousands who flock to the popular beach each week. Last weekend, it's understood the problem escalated further, with some cars abandoned and numerous road blockages along the stretch. Former Donegal councillor Noel McBride says there are fears the amenity may have to close to the public unless access is improved.
Murderhole is rated one of the top and the top five places to visit in Donegal. Now, this is False Ireland that have obviously come up with these figures, the top five. We're delighted with that in one way, but in the other way, we need assistance from both Donegal County Council and False Ireland to put the proper infrastructure in place. Now, if that doesn't happen, what will have to happen is that the Murderhole Beach will have to be closed completely to the public. The landowners there are willing to work with Donegal County Council, are willing to work with False Ireland to make this the top place in Donegal to visit. They will work with them, but they need the support and they need the help of both False Ireland and Donegal County Council.
In terms of the upgraded works that is required, you know, to bring it up to a certain standard, it is quite a long stretch, I understand, from the main road to the beach itself. It would require, I'd imagine, a lot of work and a lot of money to back it.
Yes, it will require a lot of money. I understand, as you know, I'm not Donegal County Council anymore, but I understand, and I wasn't able to get confirmation of this morning, but I understand that there's a €20,000 being allocated for upgrade works. I'm not sure whether that's to the roadway or whatever. But what it needs down there is a major car park, toilet facilities, so on and so forth. If that was put in place, then that would alleviate the problem of the cars parking on the roadway. Cars come down, they get into the car park, they spend whatever time they want, and they can go back up again.
And that was former councillor Noel McBride. Weather forecast, any lingering wet weather will clear, leaving a dry and bright early evening. Some sunny spells in moderate westerly winds. Tonight will be mainly dry with varying cloud and again clear spells. Minimum temperatures 11 to 13 degrees Celsius in light breezes. A mix of cloud and brighter sunny spells with maximum temperatures of 19 to 22 degrees tomorrow. Light to moderate south to southeasterly breezes. The headlines in brief. John Hume has been laid to rest in the city cemetery in Derry this afternoon. A message read to his funeral mass on behalf of the Dalai Lama said his persistence for peace has set an example for all to follow. The public finances have deteriorated by €8.3 billion in the past year. Latest Exchequer figures show the deficit was €7.4 billion in July, compared to a surplus of nearly €900 million in the same month last year. Meanwhile, government debt increased by €13.8 billion over the first quarter of this year. 10 new cases of coronavirus have been reported in Northern Ireland, but no new deaths today. It's the 23rd day in a row there have been no new deaths. And the COVID-19 committee in the Dáil says the testing and tracing system is facing severe stress. We're back with news at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 5th of August. The death has taken place of Mary Clerken, née McGrory, 6 Clunwer, Buncrana, formerly of Drummondderry. Her remains are reposing at McLaughlin's funeral home. Removal from there tomorrow Thursday at 5:45, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 6 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral mass there at 10 o'clock on Friday morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral private to family and close friends only, please. The funeral will be streamed via webcam and accessed through churchservices.tv/Cock Hill. The death has occurred of Michael Conboy, 37, Orchard Grove, Letterkenny, formerly of Colooney, County Sligo. Michael's remains are reposing at his home. Requiem mass on Friday morning at 11 in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, with interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. Due to government and HSE guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to immediate family and close friends only, please. Requiem mass can be viewed on the churchoftheirishmartyrs.com website. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Archview Lodge Residence Comfort Fund, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has taken place of Seamus Brady, Lorcan Villas, Santry, Dublin, formerly of Drimnakilleu, Creasla, Donegal. Funeral mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow morning at 11, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral director. Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv/camera/St Michael's Church Creasla. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please. The death has occurred of Patrick Golden, formerly of Main Street, St Johnson. Funeral mass and interment will be arranged at a later date. The death has occurred of Reba Carlin, née Walls, 40, Strabane Road, Castledurg. Funeral from her late home tomorrow morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St Patrick's Church, Castledurg. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Due to government restrictions, the house mass and interment are strictly private to family and close friends. The mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Marie Curie Cancer Care, care of Charles Lynch, funeral director, or any family member. And the death has taken place of Robert Hamilton Cooper, 54 Church Road, Grace Hill, Ballymena, formerly of Castle Finn, County Donegal. Due to current restrictions, the house and funeral are strictly private, please. No flowers, please. Donations in lieu if desired can be made payable to James Henry Funeral Services, 100 Brockshane Street, Ballymena, for Leukaemia and Lymphoma NI.